Tonight I want to teach on why is faith so important. We need to understand why faith is so important in our lives. We define faith as being fully persuaded that what God has promised He will perform. We do not have faith. Faith is being fully persuaded that what God has promised He will perform. If we had true agape faith, we wouldn't be going around with long faces, moaning, groaning, and complaining. Because faith is being fully persuaded, fully persuaded that what God has promised, He will perform. What if it takes 10 years, He's still going to do it? What if it takes 10 days, He's still going to do it? Amen. You know, God will let us go around that mountain as many times as we want to go around. And the reason why we keep going around the same mountain is because we allow doubt and unbelief come into our mind. Then we have to start all over again. All right, this means that regardless of what we think, see, or hear, true faith chooses to believe in and trust in God's word. This means that regardless of what we think, see, or hear, true faith chooses, we have choices every day, right? To believe in and trust in God's words. Why can't we do that? But we can choose to believe the devil. It happens all the time. But why don't we turn around now and choose to believe and trust God's word? Think about that. True faith is being convinced that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what we understand to be true, and no matter how we feel, God will be faithful to perform His promises to us in His timing and in His way. You know, you might be going through a very difficult time, and you can't understand why God's causing you to go through that difficult time. Do you ever think it's so He can save another soul? Somebody could be watching you going through that difficult time, and as they see you stand in faith and see you keep going no matter what the circumstances are, and you don't give in, that could cause somebody around you, and maybe God's trying to save some that you come in contact with all the time, and the only way He can do that is by putting you through a trial or a tribulation, and for them to see you going through it with a smile on your face, which we have a hard time doing, uplifted hands, and praise, right? So true faith is being convinced that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what we understand to be true, and no matter how we feel, God will be faithful to perform His promises to us in His timing and in His way. Job had this kind of extreme faith. After losing his children, his family, his home, his health, and his business, Job looked to God and said in Job 13:15, "Even though you slay me, yet will I trust you." Don't you all say you do that, because you don't. We don't. In other words, even though everything in his world was crumbling and falling apart, he still chose to have faith in his God. Now let's just stop here and just talk about this a little bit. All right, so everything in your life is just crumbling, falling apart. It's okay to go to God and say, "God, what's going on?" It's okay to cry. It's okay to question. But the bottom line is, do you say, "God, your will, your way"? Because isn't that what Jesus did? "God, if it's your will, let this cup pass us from me." You know, he didn't want that. And he asked God, "Please take a bit." He said, "But if it's your will, let it be." So don't think you've messed up just because you questioned something. The solution here is, don't stay in the questioning mode. Get into the faith mode, saying, "God, I know in your timing, in your perfect timing, you're going to bring this thing to pass." Job's kind of faith is called naked faith. It is faith that is built upon nothing else, neither feelings, circumstances, nor any other thing, but the person of Jesus Christ. See, we look too much to other people. We look too much to our circumstances, and we never look to Jesus. Jesus has told us from day one, look straight ahead, keep your eyes upon me, don't look to the left nor to the right, don't look behind you, but just look straight ahead where I'm at, and I'll see you through. Hasn't he been telling us that? This kind of unshakable faith is God's goal and purpose for each one of us. He wants us to have this kind of faith so that we might experience his abundant life and enjoy his presence. There is no other path to intimately experiencing God. There's no other path. This kind of unshakable faith is God's goal and purpose for each one of us. He wants us to have this kind of faith so that we might experience His abundant life and enjoy His presence. There is no other path to intimately experiencing God. Job was not the only one in Scripture who embraced this kind of faith. Abraham, in the incident with Isaac, also experienced naked faith. There was Moses, Joseph, Paul, and many others who put their total trust in Christ despite their circumstances. These men loved God more than they loved their own lives, and thus were willing to allow Him to do whatever He needed in their lives to conform them into His image. Let's read that again. These men loved God more than they loved their own lives, and thus were willing to allow Him to do whatever He needed in their lives to conform them into His image. Now, see, you have to do this part. You have to do this. The other night when I was praying, I was talking to God, and I was saying, I'm so sorry I've failed you this area and that area. And He said, stop. Just stop. He said, daughter, you call yourself too short. He said, you do not understand how much impact you have upon my body. He said, what you're saying to me is not right. You have not failed me. And I just sat there and wept. And, you know, and even in my, it was a confusion. I was thinking I'd fail God, you know, because I wasn't seeing things. And God said, you don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. So I'm encouraging each one of you here tonight, even though you don't see it in front of your face, you don't know what is happening because of what you're doing for God behind the scenes. All right? Where are you in this divine process of transformation? Have you grown closer and more intimate with God because of what He has allowed in your life? Because of what He has allowed in your life? Or have you fallen away from Him because of the various trials and testings? See, you have to ask yourself that question. You know, I said to God, when I said, God, I was so innocent and you put me into this perversion, you know, and had me teach on it and learn about it. But I said, why did you allow this to happen in my life? But see, I had to go through that so I could help other people. Are you understanding this? And see, sometimes God will ask us to do things and use, you know, that's really contrary to your nature. But there's a purpose behind the whole thing. So what we have to do is just say, be obedient. Say, yes, Lord. If this is really what you want me to do, then I'm going to do it. And then just let Him work a thing out the way He needs to work it out. There's always a soul involved in everything that God has you go through. There's always a soul involved. Somebody's going to be saved because of what you had to go through. Because your testimony, whether you speak it or whether you just live it, your testimony is going to cause others' hearts to change. All right? But you have to have true faith in God and trust God in order to walk the kind of walk. Are you listening here? Faith is not a feeling. Our faith is developed over the years by the many trials and tribulations that God allows into our lives. God's ultimate goal is to have us experience faith like Job and Abraham. He wants us to have such strong conviction that no matter what happens in our lives, God will never leave us nor forsake us. However, many Christians have wrongly chosen to associate their faith with their feelings. That is a problem with the body of Christ. We're always going by our feelings, and that's not faith. Come on. This kind of emotional faith can only survive as long as life is understandable and within their control. This kind of emotional faith can only survive as long as life is understandable and within their control. But what happens when the rug of human understanding is pulled out from under them and events in their lives turn chaotic? See that? These Christians will then sink because their faith is built on emotionalism and not the solid rock of faith in Christ. Somebody came into my study today and said, did you read where that? It was overseas. They were holding church and they came in and cut the priest's throat. And they said, but they were in church and the priest was given the word. Why did that happen? My reply was, I don't know. I don't know why God allows things to happen. I don't. You know, he's God and he can do whatever he wants to do. I mean, they weren't upset with God, but they were just saying, how did that happen? And then they said, aren't you afraid to preach anymore? Don't you think that might happen to me? I said, yes, I'm not afraid to preach, but yes, it could happen to us over here. It's happening overseas all the time. The Christians are being persecuted. The preachers are being killed or kidnapped, tortured. And I don't know if it's going to come to America or not, but if it does, we have to have faith in God, knowing that whatever he allows into our life, he'll take care of us. We don't run from the enemy, but we do have wisdom enough to stand in faith and trust God that he's in control no matter what. Faith is not a feeling. It is simply the power to believe and the ability to see everything through God's eyes. How many of you have cried out to God and said, God, please let me see the situation through your eyes, because my eyes cannot comprehend any of this. I have no understanding whatsoever. Please show me what's going on through your eyes. It is simply the power to believe and the ability to see everything through God's eyes. The only way our eyes ever get dim is by sin and self. The only way our eyes ever get dim is through sin and self. This is why Scripture always exhorts us to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, you might get prayed for healing and you still have the pain, but that doesn't mean you weren't healed. Come on. In the Bible, you know where they were prayed for and they got healed as they walked. I was healed as I believed. Are you understanding this? Through faith, everything will eventually be turned to sight and understanding. Only faith allows us to become freed of things seen. We're going to get to the point where we're not worried about what we see, that we're just going to trust God from what we heard him say to us, and knowing that he is able to bring everything to pass that he speaks. Only through faith can a human being leave his familiar comfort zone and move out into the realm of the unknown. A couple of people in here have moved from different states and come in here to the realm of the unknown. And when they got here, things weren't turning out the way they thought they would, but they stayed by faith, trusting God that he knew what he was doing. Hebrews 11 is a powerful chronicle of those who faithfully stepped out into the unknown by listening to and obeying the voice of the Lord. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. By faith, Abraham went out. By faith, Sarah received the ability to conceive. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. By faith, the people of God passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish. If you read these stories, they're all different from one from the other. But it was faith that caused them to do what they did. Only faith can give us the strength to lay aside our own agenda and stand on the solid foundation that is Christ. Only faith can give us the strength to lay aside our own agenda and stand on the solid foundation that is Christ. Noah laid aside his reputation to build the ark. Did he not? Abraham laid aside his wealth and property to follow God into the desert. His wife said, where are we going? He said, I don't know. We're just going because God told us to. Y'all in here have to have a house already set there for you. You have to have your GPS all with a road map right to the house. And you know. But Abraham said, God just said, pack up your tent and leave. Wherever God takes us, that's where we're going, right? Moses laid aside the treasures of Egypt to pursue his destiny. He left the king's palace, right? And Rahab laid aside her cultural identity to seek refuge with the people of God. In every case, these men and women chose to follow God in a completely unreasonable route, allowing their faith to silence all protests coming from their own thoughts and emotions. Let's read that again. In every case, these men and women chose to follow God in a completely unreasonable route, allowing their faith to silence all protest coming from their own thoughts and emotions. Faith is letting go of the familiar and consenting to the new and the unknown. Faith is letting go of the familiar and consenting to the new and the unknown. Isn't that what God told us whenever he said the church is going to change? He said, you're resisting me because I'm taking you out of what you know and taking you into a place you've never been to before. And you're very uncomfortable. Remember he told us that? So faith is letting go of the unfamiliar and consenting to the new and the unknown. Faith is what integrates the knowing and the unknowing. Faith is learning to leave ourselves in order to find ourselves. It is deliberately choosing to move off of ourselves and to stand on Jesus. This is what those songs are all about. Getting out of your flesh and, you know, out of your, and just surrendering everything to Jesus. That last song we sang, Not Amazing Grace, but the one before that, she wrote that song because she was popular. She wanted to be number one. She wanted to be known. She wanted her name on lights. And her husband left her. She had a child and her husband left her because she was all into me. And through him leaving her, then she realized, and she, that's what her song's all about. She realized that she was empty, had nothing. And then she just laid it all down for God. And her and her husband got back together. They're very happy. But see, she was out there seeking fame and fortune. She was not out there really praising for the glory of God. How am I sitting here tonight? You're seeking fame and fortune, and you're not writing your books for the glory of God. But how much money might come in from the revenue? You know, there's things you have to think about. All right? All right, I said faith is learning to leave ourselves in order to find ourselves. It is deliberately choosing to move off of ourselves and stand on Jesus. Well, the reason why I started talking about her, because I said here, faith is learning to leave ourselves in order to find ourselves. She had to totally sit down and realize she was nothing. She had to really find herself in Christ. It is deliberately choosing to move off of ourselves and to stand on Jesus. Faith is synonymous with abandonment to God's will. And that means being obedient unto death. In Philippians 2, 7 through 9. It is looking away from ourselves and looking only to him. Looking away from ourselves and looking only to him. Job did this. Abraham did this. Sarah did this. Can we do it? Can we quit looking at ourselves and only look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our life, and let him lead God and direct us where he wants to go, how he wants us to go? Are you listening here? Or are you so caught up in yourself, all you're thinking about is, what can I do, what can I do, where am I going to end up at? Job said, though you slay me, yet I will trust you. No, that was David, wasn't it? Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Listen to an incredible account by Joe Hallett, a dear saint who struggled with AIDS for 10 years. He looked away from himself and looked only to Jesus. He said, I have lain on the couch struggling with nausea and pain, wondering what good could come out of all this. I wondered where God was in the midst of my sorrow, pain, and grief. I know that he promised to be with me in the midst of everything. But I couldn't feel his presence, and prayer was a towering obstacle that I could not overcome. I am reminded of Job, though I am not on his level, and how he suffered. The only thing he had was his life, and he was loath to keep that. He lost his family, his wife, his wealth, and his community standing. He even lost his health. Think of scratching off boils with a potsherd. His neighbors accused him of being a sinner. Your friends will do that. If God has you in a bad place, they'll accuse you of being a sinner. If you're such a saint, then how come you're going through all this? And he goes on to say, they reasoned that since he was suffering so much, he must be a deeply sinful person. Throughout the whole book, Job longs to see God vindicate him. Then God comes, but he never answers Job's questions. He simply says that he is God. It's just like when you say, God, what do you want me to do? He says, stand still. He's saying, I'm God, stand still, right? However, Job is completely changed by this encounter. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, and we all do that. Things too wonderful for me to know. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job 42:3-6. He said, I shot my big mouth off about things I had no reasoning about, no understanding about. At least he admitted it, you know. And then this young man said, it is the same with me. I don't know why God is allowing me to suffer as I am, but in the midst of it, I trust him. Even though there are times I look up and ask why. I know enough about who God is to realize that no matter how he looks, he is using my circumstances for my good and the building up of my spirit, all for his glory. There's not too many people in the house of God can make that statement with love. Let none of these things move me. In another one of Joe Hallett's newsletters, he goes on to say, I have a love-hate relationship with God, and somebody I'm praying for, God said they have a love-hate relationship with me. Then he goes on to say, he asks things of me that no sane, reasonable, or rational person would ever ask. Let's read that again. I have a love-hate relationship with God. He asks things of me that no sane, reasonable, or rational person would ever ask. He said, it really annoys me. This God of ours keeps asking me to hope in the impossible. Some of you have been in this guy's shoes. He invites me, or rather commands me, to push through to a place that is completely beyond my understanding and my experience. See that? A place of scalding and naked brilliance. Oh, he is gentle and polite about it, but he is still inviting me to lay down my life. He is still asking me to die. He doesn't mean death die, just die to self. How accurately Job describes our human reaction to the words of Jesus in John 12:24. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Faith is trusting in God's love, even when we have been stripped of reputation, comfort, family, position, finances, and even our last ounce of understanding. I want you to read that again. Faith is trusting in God's love, even when we have been stripped of reputation, comfort, family, position, finances, and even our last ounce of understanding. Faith is getting to the place where we can vow and mean in Acts 20:24, let none of these things move me. Are you there? Let none of these things move me, even when that means, letting go of all that we hold dear. How many of you can say that God has really had you in that place at one point in the last, I'll say 6 years? He's really been stripping you of everything you have. And he's asking you to just trust him and obey him. And he'll say, you'll never understand me. And he is so right. I do not understand him. I don't even try. Amen. The Lord brought this scripture to my heart. God knew that I would really need it for what he was about to allow in my life. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. One day, God really had me going through something. I said, God, don't you see this is just a light affliction? Just keep moving. It was killing me, I thought. But I'm still alive. How many of you, you've been there, right? So it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And you know what? You know, God sees the project finished. We see it messed up. So if we say, God, let me see this through your eyes and let him show you it a finished product, you're going to be able to waltz through that thing because you already know what the finished product's going to look like. If that is true, he does that. But you have to come to the place to ask him to do that for you. As Erwin Lutzer states in his excellent book on death, what is life but simply preparation for eternity? Through all the trials and tribulations, I find myself experiencing more of his love and more of his peace than ever before. Don't you? Through all the trials and tribulations, I find myself experiencing more of his love and more of his peace than ever before. And, you know, I wrote this, you know, I've been studying this and putting this together, and I had it all together. And I was sitting there today about 3 o'clock, and I said, God, I can't endure too much more this season. Where's your faith? You know, I've just got to teach on faith, and, you know, because... You know, he's already told me what the end would be, but I'm trying to figure out, he didn't really explain the end, you know, in detail, so I'm not quite sure what the end is going to be yet, but, you know, and he said, where's your faith? So I shut up. Through all the trials and tribulations, I find myself experiencing more of his love and more of his peace than ever before. So are you? Are you experiencing more of his love and more of his peace? Or are you still caught up in that will that keeps you distraught all the time? Probably due to the fact that I have had to trust him to a deeper level than ever before. That's just what I'm saying. We all constantly have a choice. Every day I have a choice to make about something or other. Don't you? We all constantly have a choice either to believe that God somehow is in these circumstances and knows exactly why he has allowed them. That's hard, isn't it? Or to crumble in doubt and anger and fear that this is all just a cruel joke and that life has no meaning whatsoever. Yeah, we have to believe one or the other, right? And how many of us sometimes think it's just a cruel joke? God, is this you or is this the devil? And if it's you, devil, get out of my life. You know? If we choose to doubt God's love for us in all of this, then we immediately crash and burn and experience overwhelming depression. Come on. That'll happen to you. If we choose to doubt God's love for us in all of this, then we immediately crash and burn and experience overwhelming depression. We become emotionally wiped out, not only for the moment, but also for anything we might do in the future. Our faith affects every choice. Let's read that again. Our faith affects every choice, every thought, and every action we take, not only for today, but also for tomorrow. You know, if only we knew what we knew, what we know now, if we knew it when we was 2 years old, we would have made a whole lot of different choices, wouldn't we, in life? Because our choices is what made us what we are today, good or bad. You quit blaming God and the devil and all your mess. You brought yourself to where you're at. You chose to go into sin. You chose not to go into sin. You chose to drink. You chose to do drugs. You know, don't blame God. All right. I was talking to Larry and I said, you know, some kids don't have anybody to pray for them. You know, there's an angel and a demonic angel and a spiritual angel waiting to grab an ankle when the baby comes out. And if you don't have anybody praying for you, you don't have a chance because the devil gets hold of you. And you didn't choose that in life. But even though you didn't choose that in life, there does come a time in your life when God gives you a chance to get out of it. He makes a way of escape. All right. And, you know, if you really, why don't you just sit down and think about your life, really truthfully think about your life and think about what God has spoken to you and where he's led you. And if you're honest with yourself, you can find yourself, you disobeyed God at some point. And that's why you're in the mess that you're in. Or you didn't understand what God was wanting you to do. And because you didn't understand, you didn't question God. And so therefore a mess came into deal. I mean, that is the truth. If you really sit down and really check your life out, you will find that to be. Or you allowed somebody else to speak into your life. You'll try to tell you, oh, God doesn't want you to do this and God doesn't want you to do that. And you knew God wanted you to do that, but you allowed this other person to sway you to believe that God didn't want you to do that. These are different circumstances that will come and steal your faith and your trust in God. God told me one time years ago now, he said, daughter, you don't trust me. I said, yes, I do. He said, no, because you quit trusting man. And when you quit trusting man, then you no longer trust me either. So I sat down and I thought about that. You know, he was right. I'd gotten to a place in my life again where I didn't trust men. I didn't trust them. I didn't trust anything they said or did. So therefore, I wasn't trusting God that he could take care of me either. So I had to repent. I had to turn around and rethink and redo. I pay attention to every little detail, I really do, about everything. Some people just sail through life with their eyes half shut. That's going to get you in trouble. You have to watch what's going on around about you. And you know, and when I know there's something in my life that's not right, I take it to God right away. Say, all right, God, what did I do wrong this time? Or is this something you really want me to go through? And he'll talk to you. He really will. He will explain to you what you're going through and why you're going through it. And so then you have a choice to make. Either you say, boy, I was dumb. And Father, please forgive me. And move on. Or you can stay there and wallow in your beard. Doesn't matter to God. But he would rather you say, I'm really sorry that I didn't understand. How many times have just think? How many times did you God has spoken to you, but you just didn't really understand everything He was saying, and you either didn't question Him further, or you just let it go, and it got you in trouble. You know, something happened in your life that shouldn't have happened. God understands that, but then we have to come to a point where we get out of that mode too. I don't know where I'm at. When we choose by faith and not feelings to believe and trust that what God says in His word is true, that He loves us and that He will work these circumstances out in our lives for His glory, then we are able to experience once again His presence and His peace. You know, really, saints, I believe everybody in this room is going through a trial or a tribulation right now. There's something in your life that's not perfect. You know, you're just going to have to just believe that God is in it. God is in control of it. And He's told you He's in control of it. And you just have to trust Him. And if you know, you know, there isn't a person in this room that doesn't know that they've messed up and caused that thing not to come to pass that He spoke. If there is, then you're not walking in the Spirit right. Because you know, deep in your innermost knowing, you know that you messed up. And that's why things have went wrong. So all you do is just go, God, I'm so sorry. I really messed up here. It's not a big thing. It's no condemnation. The big thing is that you won't admit you messed up. Because God never messes up. How many of you know that? It's us. Then we are able to experience once again His presence and His peace. It's a fact that our faith is never more alive than when what we are experiencing in our spirit contradicts what our senses are saying. Let's say that again. It is a fact that our faith is never more alive than when what we are experiencing in our spirit contradicts what our senses are saying. You know, these senses get us in trouble, but your spirit man never does. Faith is trusting that God loves us and will work out every detail of our lives for His glory. Read that again. Faith is trusting that God loves us. He loves us. We sang all them songs about that tonight. And will work out every detail of our lives for His glory. Come on. He will. He does. He is. Even if our senses are screaming just the opposite. God, are you crazy? God, you don't know what you're doing. God, have you left me? Have you forsaken me? This is what your senses are saying. But really and truly, none of that's true. God is working everything out for His glory. Someone holds us. When we study the lives of Abraham and Moses and Joshua, we quickly understand that faith is not something we hold on to, but rather someone who holds on to us. True faith steps out of the crowd that is still clamoring for understanding, lays itself humbly at the foot of the cross, and whispers, "Though you slay me, yet will I trust you." I think it's awesome how Abraham took his son up there and was going to slay him and make him a sacrifice. And he kept telling his son, God will provide. God provided. Waited till it got right down to the wire, right? And then he provided. You know, Abraham could have lost it at any given time. But he didn't. He kept trusting God. Sometimes we lose it before the thing really happens. And then then we mess things up. We have to quit losing it, and we have to keep trusting. There was a time in my life I thought he was a hard master, wrote George MacDonald. But now that I have learned a little more of what he means with me, how he would make me pure of sin, clean from the very bottom of my heart to the crest of my soul, truly I am no more content to merely submit to his will. I'm going to read that paragraph over again. But now that I have learned a little more of what he means with me, how he would make me pure of sin, clean from the very bottom of my heart to the crest of my soul. Truly, I am no more content to merely submit to his will. Now I cry out in the night, thy will be done, Lord. Let it be done, I entreat thee. And in the daytime I cry, thy kingdom come, Lord. Let it come, I pray thee. See, that's the way we should be praying. That's the way we should be crying out. But we're still complaining. Haven't gotten there yet, have we? Faith is giving God permission to penetrate our souls with his fire of love and burn up all that is not of him. Faith is opening ourselves up to the true depths of reality. See, this is what we need to do, the church. We have to get into reality. Faith is opening ourselves up to the true depths of reality, not only believing and trusting in what God does through us, but also believing and trusting what God does towards us. Faith is simply submitting to the confusion and the darkness, standing still in it, and trusting God anyway. Let's read that again. Faith is simply submitting to the confusion and the darkness, standing still in it, and trusting God anyway. Now, we're going to read Psalms here in just a minute. But that is what faith is all about. Simply submitting to the confusion and the darkness. Because every time I say God, He says stand still. It was confusion and darkness. Stand still. And what He was saying is stand still and trust me. No matter what you say. Psalm 18 verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of the song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Everybody should have this, memorize this, and this really should be the way you live. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. See what David said? The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of the ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. God got a little bit upset because somebody came against David, didn't he? Psalm 18:9, he bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. Psalm 18:16, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. Psalm 18:19, he also brought me out of a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. When the enemy is all around about you, this psalm is a psalm you should think about, because God is going to deliver you from your enemies. It might look just the opposite when you're in the midst of your trial, your tribulation. But if you really put your eyes upon God and trust him, he is delivering you out of your situation. He is setting you free from the snare of the fowler, and he's not going to let you go under. You know, our problem is that we're so self-centered. They're always saying, look at me, look what I have to go through. Why me, Lord? Why don't you bless me? Why don't you? You know, we're here for souls. We're here on a mission. And we are God. If God has to use his people to win souls. So if you have to go through trials and tribulations for this to occur, why not? You know, God's saying you have to get over the hump tonight. You have to get over the hump and understand that no matter what you go through, there is a purpose for each and everything that you go through. And you just have to trust him with all of your heart. Our prayer for today should be that God might bring us forth into a large place, to broaden, to open up wide, to bring freedom, and that we might come to know God by faith like we never have before. God said absolutely nothing works without the foundation of love, and the majority of the church does not walk in love. And he told me that's why the church goes through everything it goes through, is because they do not have a foundation of love. They have a foundation of me, me, me. And he said, until they get the foundation of love, the enemy is going to continue to harass them and bombard them. So saints of God, God's been teaching us about the love walk now for a long time. And if we don't have that down yet, then we're in dire trouble. You know, the church is supposed to be a hospital. And we're supposed to be a place where when hurting and wounded people come in, we can heal them through love. And unless we have the love walk down, we're not going to be able to heal anybody. Come on. If you can't love your family, how can you say you love God? Think about it. If you can't love your family, how can you say that you can, that you love God? We're required, we're commanded to love our family. Yeah, we're commanded to love the unlovable. We're commanded to love those who persecute us and who do evil through us. I even want us to get to the place tonight where we aren't even going to complain, not one iota anymore, about nothing that's going on in our life. No more complaining. If God's placed you in what you think is a bad place, He'll take you out of it in His timing. He's not going to take you out of that bad place until what He wanted accomplished is accomplished. So you might as well quit kicking against the pricks. You might as well quit fussing and groaning, moaning and complaining, and just want to be happy. Because either you trust Him or you don't. If you don't trust God, you're going to stay there a long time. Remember He told me a couple years ago, daughter, you can go around this mountain as many times as you want. And when you decide to quit going around the mountain, I'll be here then to do what I have to do. Doubt and unbelief is the biggest enemy in the church today. I'm asking each one of you in here tonight to please give your doubt and unbelief. Give it away. Whatever God says He has to do in your life, quit questioning Him. Why do you question God all the time? You know, you're not God, and you've proven it because you're messed up. Just, all right, God, so you say this is what my problem is. All right, God, then you get it. I'm submitting myself to you. You go ahead and do whatever you have to do to get me out of this mess that I put myself in. All right? Because you didn't have to keep submitting to the enemy. You did not. You could have stopped at any given time. It would have been a battle, but you could have stopped. You could have won. Some of you in here tonight, He's telling me He's relieved you of addictions, and you went right back into them again, thinking He was going to do it again. He's not going to do it again. Now you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight that devil, and you're going to make him stop. Come on. You were so arrogant. I'm just hearing this from God. You were so arrogant that you just went right back in there. Oh, well, God will just take it away. No, that isn't how it works. Remember David, he only sinned one sin one time. That just totally blows my mind. And he was God's chosen man, wasn't he? He wasn't not perfect. When I read all the sin he did, I thought, wow. Because I expected him to be sitting next to God. But here he had this sin nature too, but he only did it one time, and then he repented and he moved on and didn't do it again. That tells me a lot about my Father and His mercy and His grace. Doesn't it tell you a lot about His mercy, His grace, and His love? What is it in you tonight that makes you think you set higher than God does? That you question everything He says about your life. Why is it you cannot say, "Your will, Lord, not mine"? Isn't that what got Satan thrown out of heaven? Thinking he was above God. Thinking he knew more than God did. These are just things God's saying through me to ask you. I don't have it written down. I'm done with my paper. Amen. And God's saying it's time that we become Bible-believing Christians instead of world-orientated Christians. So it's up to you tonight. You sang that one song, the very last song. I hope you meant that. I lay myself down. Is that what it was? Did you really mean that tonight? Did you really sing all those songs and really mean all those songs? They were all about you, you know. And where you were and what God did for you. Then the very last song you said, I lay myself down. If you really did that tonight, God wants you up here because He's going to overshadow you in a way you've never been overshadowed before. But if you didn't mean that song, then you're wasting your time. God said the world is out of control and so is His church. But He's trying to get His church back in control. He's trying to get His church back into a place where they will be the leader. They'll be the head, not the tail. And He's saying right now the church is the tail. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad to have God say the church is the tail. Oh, the song was, "Lord, I'm ready now." That's what it was. Are you ready? Are you really ready to give it all to God tonight? Are you really ready to believe Him and trust Him? No matter what you're going through, you know, God sees your heart. And please don't twist that. And God knows what you desire out of life. He knows how close you want to walk with Him. I don't, but God does. God's saying, I want all of you tonight. I want every bit of you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And God's also saying, don't try to worm your way out of the truth. Stay connected to God. He's saying, stay in that place of total refuge with Him.